I'm Jen Hall, and I was asked to share a bit today about our story. 2 years ago, we lost our 10-year-old son, Logan, totally unexpectedly, riding his bike. And he was in the hospital for 11 days, unconscious. And through that, we experienced love from the church that we had no idea existed. People filling the lobby every day, people taking care of our house, people that we didn't even know coming. And then he died on the 11th day, and we had an amazing outpouring at his memorial service. And I have just been amazed at how his life has touched so many people. And through it, even though we don't understand, I'm so grateful to say that we really believe what we say we believe. That when the rubber hit the road, that we absolutely trust God. And my husband and I have known that God will use this somehow, because he uses all things for good, not just some things, but all things. So we've been trying to pay attention and be patient to see how he's going to use us. What I didn't know is that it would be right around the corner. In August, I had a friend come by and tell me that a woman around the corner had just lost her 14-month-old baby. And I don't know her. And I'm mutual friends with her neighbor. The family that lost their baby ended up coming to Cornerstone. They didn't have a home church of their own, and through their neighbor, they came to Cornerstone and decided to have the service here. And when Terry and Francis went up to meet the family, they asked if I would go. And I remember thinking I just wanted to be able to go in and have my hair fixed and my makeup on, just so that she could see that, 2 years out, that I can get up out of bed every morning and take care of my kids. And I remember just walking in and seeing her, and I don't know her, and just walking up and just hugging her and sobbing with her, just knowing her pain and just being able to relate to that so closely. I came to the memorial service. I didn't get to spend time with her then, but later my husband and I went out and spent time with her and her husband and her mom and dad, and just had a great time getting to just know them and their history and then their story about their baby. And then I wanted to be available to her, but I wasn't quite sure when or how to do that. Trying to be sensitive to time that she needed with her family. And some of my girlfriends and I were going to put together a Bible study that we've been friends for a long time. And God kept kind of putting in my head, about inviting other women in my neighborhood that normally weren't involved in this Bible study. And I realized that he wanted me to start my own study, which is so not what I do. I am not a Bible study leader. But I called my neighbor who lost her baby, and her neighbor and a couple other women, and she was really excited about getting into the Word and learning more about Christ and our hope that's in heaven. And so we've started this study, and we get together every week and just have a great time and laugh and cry and just share each other's lives and stories. And I also talked him into doing boot camp with me every morning at 5:30 in the morning. So now we see them. I see them every morning. So we do boot camp and Bible study together. And it's good.
I just love that. Here's someone who lost her child. And yet during this time of grieving is going out and helping other people. And she's taking her mind off of herself. And even stretching herself to this point where she's going, you know, I'm just going to grab some different people in my neighborhood and start a Bible study. Something that is a total stretch for her even just doing that. But I just love the example that Jen sets for us because, man, when life is difficult for us, it's so easy to start looking inward and just say, it's all about me, all about me, all about me. And yet even in that grieving, we almost, if anyone would have an excuse to look inward, we say, well, you know, it's okay. Just think about yourself. Just think about yourself. But that's not the way we heal. That's not the way God intended for us to heal. Man, the more inward we get, it's the more depressed we'll get. And just watching her and seeing her life as she's going out and ministering to other people amidst her pain. It's exactly what we're talking about this morning. It was such a beautiful picture, of Philippians 2, where it says that what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus Christ is to consider other people as more important than us. It says in Philippians 2, verse 1, it says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. He goes, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. And then verse 3, it says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's this picture of humility that a lot of times we have a weird view of humility. We think to be humble means that you put yourself down or you speak real quietly or you don't talk a whole lot. The Bible says no, humility is when you can consider other people as more important than you. And you actually stop just looking at yourself but thinking about the needs of others. You know, I woke up this morning. Right when I woke up, a thought came to my mind. I started thinking about something this morning, and I ended up thinking about it for the next hour straight, probably about an hour. Like, it's weird. You know, you wake up, you think this thought, and then I couldn't get it off of my mind. You know what I was thinking about for the first hour? Me. I was thinking about me, and I was thinking about how I felt because I'm sick. And I'm thinking, man, poor me. You know? And I was in San Diego last night, and I was speaking in San Diego last night. Didn't get home till 1. I could barely even talk last night. And then my throat was on. I couldn't sleep real well. Man, poor me. And I got to do 4 services and on and on. And I just thought about myself for an hour straight. That's pretty good. And then I came to the office and, you know, just re-looking at my notes again. And I'm going, what in the world? All week long, I've been studying and thinking about, okay, this is a message about thinking about others, thinking about others, thinking about others. I wake up Sunday morning, and it's all about me. You guys should be feeling sorry for me right now. I'm sick. I got to do this 3 more times. Man, you know, there's this whole thing. It's just me, me, me. And the Bible says, no, humility is even when things are difficult for you, you're not supposed to be focusing on yourself. To actually look around, see, I didn't think about you. I care less about you this morning. I wasn't thinking about anyone else. And the Bible says, no, a humble person. See, it's the proud person that's thinking about himself. He says, that's actually being conceited, to be thinking about yourself all the time. But the humble person is going, no, other people, I love the way he says, count others more significant. than yourselves. This morning, have you considered anyone? Have you counted anyone as being more significant than yourself today? Did you treat anyone as being more important than yourself this morning? That's what this passage is about, and it gives the picture of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage, very well-known passage of Scripture, where it just puts the focus on Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to do this morning. I just want to paint a picture of what Jesus is like, because sometimes we forget, as Christians, we're supposed to be like him, okay? And I know, you know, it's so weird how that word Christian's been so diluted and screwed up in our world, where people go, oh, you're a good Christian because you go to church, or you're a good Christian because you get up early and dress up and go to church. You're a good Christian because you don't drink. You're a good Christian because you don't swear, and all these things make you a good... No, a good Christian is someone who actually lives and acts like Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It's like we're supposed to get this picture of Jesus, what he was like, and then go, okay, do I resemble him at all? Do my actions resemble his? And this passage is about the humility of Jesus Christ, who even though he was God, and he could have just sat there in heaven and done his thing and let all the angels worship him, instead, he actually thought about us, his creation, these human beings. And this is this whole picture of him humbling himself to be with us and to love us and to die for our sins. And it's like, wow, if God Almighty could do that, then shouldn't we have that same attitude? See, verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And I want to spend some time on that phrase, because I feel like a lot of times we can cheapen who Jesus Christ is and we can belittle him. And yet this verse is so clear that he was in the very form of God, that he is equal with God. A lot of times we think, okay, there's God the Father, and then you know, below him is Jesus. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's equal with God. He is God. In fact, there's a really interesting verse in John chapter 12. I mean, there's so many verses we could look at, but John chapter 12, there's an interesting verse when it's talking about the people who would see the miracles of Jesus, and yet they still wouldn't believe. And then it talked about how there were some people who saw Jesus, saw his miracles, and they began to believe in him, but they would do so secretly because they didn't want to get, you know, ousted from being Pharisees or whatever else. And so it was this whole idea. But then John starts quoting Isaiah and saying, you know what, Isaiah said this would happen. But then the really interesting verse is John 12, verse 41. In the midst of that discussion, as he's talking about Jesus, he says in John 12, verse 41, he said, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Okay, so you're talking about Jesus, but then it talks about Isaiah, and it says that Isaiah said these verses and said these things about people not believing in him. And he says, because he saw his glory. That Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus Christ? It's a really weird verse, because Isaiah was hundreds of years before Christ came on the earth. And it says clearly that Isaiah got to see Jesus in his glory. What was he talking about? See, everyone back then would have known exactly what he was talking about. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gets to see the glory of God. But everyone reading the Old Testament would have been thinking God the Father. But here he's explaining Jesus as being the one on this throne. And in Isaiah 6, there's this very powerful picture of Jesus. And a lot of times, we don't think of Jesus being this way. But here, John 12 says, Isaiah saw his glory, and so then we turn to Isaiah 6. What did Isaiah see when he saw the glory of Jesus? It says in Isaiah 6, verse 1, it says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the entire temple.
So think about this. Isaiah got to see Jesus, and here's what he saw. See, get rid of all these other pictures in your head that you see on pictures, you know, on paintings or, you know, whatever else in Sunday school, of, you know, Jesus with long hair holding sheep. You know, just get that out of your head. Yeah, when he was down on the earth, we don't know exactly what he looked like. But you guys, the point was, he was only on earth for a short time. Okay? He was up in heaven, came down on earth, and went right back up there and right back into his glory. So Isaiah 6 is a much better picture of what you should have in your mind as you're praying and as you think about Jesus. And it really bothers me that I think, you know what? Because we have such a small view of Jesus, we get very casual about him. And we treat him with so much disrespect. And our prayers are disrespectful. Our singing can be disrespectful. Our giving can be disrespectful. Our serving can be disrespectful. You know, our appreciation of the word of God can be disrespectful. All because we have a low view of who Jesus is. Because picture this. Isaiah says, I saw him. He goes, and he was sitting on a throne. Okay, picture that. He goes, but not just a little throne, not a little chair. I mean, this throne that was high and exalted. And he says, in fact, he was so big that his robe literally filled up the whole temple. Okay, picture a being sitting on a throne so massive that the robe fills the entire temple. That's the picture we should have when we think of Jesus. And it goes on and it says that there were these high angels that above him were these seraphim, these high angels. And it says that each had six wings, and with two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. See, the whole idea of these angels is they got two wings covering their faces, two covering their feet. They were covered from head to toe. They were covering themselves because they felt like that they weren't worthy to look upon God. These are the high angels. They're looking at Jesus and they're covering themselves up because they don't believe like they're worthy to be looked upon by God. It was a sign of respect. It was a sign of awe of, oh, you, I'm not worthy to be looked upon. These are the high angels covering themselves from head to toe. And then it says that one called out to the other. One of the angels was calling. Isaiah's watching this whole thing. One of the angels screaming out to the other one, he goes, holy, holy, holy. That word holy means set apart. It means he's distinct, he's beyond us, he's not like us. And he's screaming, he's so holy, he's so holy, he's so holy. He's saying to the other angel, says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it says the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called out, and the house was filled with smoke. So this angel was screaming so loud that everything was shaking. Hey, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in Isaiah's shoes at that moment? You see this being on the throne. This whole robe just fills the whole temple. Then you see these angels that won't even look upon him, and they're just screaming, he's so holy. And the whole place is shaking. And you're standing there, everything's shaking. These angels are screaming, and there's this being on the throne. That's Jesus. That's who we pray to. When we close our eyes in this room and we speak to him, that's who we're speaking to. And maybe some of you, your whole life, you've been taught, oh, Jesus is your best friend. Go to him when you're in. You know, absolutely. Is that true? Yes, it's true. I'm just saying there's a lot more to him, okay, than your little buddy that you can just kind of throw all your dirt at and everything else. I'm saying, man, sometimes we just lose the respect for who God is. And this morning, I would just like us to take some time in reverence for him. I mean, do you believe that God is in heaven right now, that Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne? And do you believe that he notices you right now? Last night I was preaching about the presence of God and just how, just to be aware that God is right here with us. And it just hit me as I was talking about that. Wow, how do we act if God is here and he sees us? And here we've just read this passage about Jesus being in the form of God, equal with God. And we read about Isaiah seeing Jesus on this throne. So as God looks at your heart right now, what does he see? Does he see reverence?
humility? Or does he see arrogance? I'm going to give you some time right now just to show some reverence to Jesus. Because remember, our services are not for me to entertain you or for a band or anyone else to entertain you. It's about us coming before Almighty God and giving him our offering of praise, whatever it is. And I just think right now what we need to do is come before God and just humble ourselves. And just picture him in heaven on that throne. And for some of you, it might be awkward for you. I'm going to challenge you. Maybe this would be good for you to do. This passage we're going to study talks about how one day every knee is going to bow before God. See, those angels, they were showing. They weren't just saying, God, you're so holy. God, you're so holy. No, physically they were showing it. They were covering themselves up. It was a sign of reverence, a sign of respect. And I think one of the things the church needs more than anything is a new reverence and awe of God. And I'm going to challenge you during this time of meditation on God that may some of you just drop to your knees and bow before God. And literally maybe just turn around, face your chair, and just picture God in heaven and out of a sign of respect. Just be willing to bow to someone who's bigger than you. Why don't we just close our eyes right now? And just bow your heads first. If you want to get on your knees, you can get on your knees, but let's not even say anything to him yet. Just picture him in heaven on his throne with the angels covering themselves up and screaming out his holiness. Just picture yourself in relation to him. And I challenge you, you may want to get on your knees and just show him your humility and show him that you're willing to bow before him.
Jesus, we approach your throne with deepest fear, for you we come. Greater all with every step, stronger praise with every breath. led by mercy we fall.
Father, forgive us for the times when we're so casual about you. God, forgive us for the times when we come in here and we're just so arrogant. We refuse to bow to you and we're just so into ourselves. God, I pray that you would humble us, humble all of us. Help us to realize how huge you are, how holy you are in comparison to us. God, may we be a church that really reveres Jesus Christ and recognizes him on the throne in heaven right now. May we be people who are humble enough to bow before him at any time of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. I really believe one of the biggest problems with the churches today is we just don't have this huge picture of Jesus, and he's just our little buddy. And you guys, the truth is everyone's going to see him for who he is one day. The Bible makes that clear. But the Bible says even though God is this awesome God in heaven and this amazing being right now, and I hope you don't see this as make-believe and let's pretend we're bowing to someone, but you recognize right now in heaven that's going on and these angels are screaming out his holiness and we're just joining with them and we're just bowing down saying, God, we agree with them. We agree. It's not about us. This world does not revolve around me. It's all about you on that throne. And the amazing thing about this passage is it says that God, there's Jesus sitting on his throne with those angels worshiping him. He doesn't just stay up there. What he does is he humbles himself and he comes down on the earth and takes a form of a regular human being. In fact, he becomes a servant. So that God gets on his knees and starts washing the disciples' feet. That God comes down and allows you to spit on him and mock him and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, he's dying for all of our sins. We're going to take communion right now because it's just the most beautiful picture of that. Jesus, I want you to remember what I did for you through communion and only take of the bread and the cup if you believe in Jesus Christ. But the ushers are going to pass this bread around, and this bread reminds us of what happens. He says, this is my body. This is my flesh. Jesus left his throne in heaven, took on flesh, and even allowed his flesh to be torn apart by human beings for your sake. And he says, and I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Here's what I want you to do as the ushers are going to be passing the bread and the cup. And as we worship, I want you to stare at this cross as much as you can. Because we've looked at the throne this morning already. We looked at Jesus on the throne, and now I want you to picture Jesus on that cross. Because when you put these two thoughts together, you're going, wait a second, that God sitting on his throne with the angels screaming out, holy, 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 is on the cross while people are screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And then you've got the greatest picture of humility that exists. When you understand this, just look at the cross now and picture Jesus. You've pictured him on the throne. Now let's picture him on the cross as the elements are passed. And when you're ready, just thank him for going to that cross for you and take of that bread and take of that cup. Father, it's amazing that we can call Jesus Christ a friend. It's only because your word tells us we can do that, Lord, that we dare call him that. And it's an amazing truth, Lord, that he says he doesn't call us his slaves, but he calls us his friends. That Almighty God sitting on his throne would care about us, humble himself, die on a cross for us, and allow us to come in this room and call you friend. God, is just an amazing, amazing truth. And I pray that we never get tired of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. I got to show you my favorite part of this passage now. So Jesus is on the throne, right? Almighty Jesus, and we bow before him. And then he, rather than just staying up there and just watching us bow, he comes down and bows before us and nails our and washes the disciples' feet and gets nailed to a cross. I mean, that's an amazing picture of humility. And because that happened, it says in verse 9, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Says Jesus was here in heaven, he came down on earth and died on that cross, and now God's exalted him, he's back up there in heaven. And now at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this, what Paul is saying here in Philippians 2, is a quote from the Old Testament. And I was reading it this week and I got the chills and I couldn't wait to just share these two verses with you. It's in Isaiah chapter 45. Verses 22 and 23. I'm going to put it on the screen because I don't want you to miss this. This is what God says in the Old Testament, and this is what Paul is quoting here in Philippians. He says, turn to me, this is God speaking, and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Look at what God's saying here. I love this. That he goes, turn to me and be saved. He goes, I'm God, there's none other. But look at what he says. He goes, by myself I have sworn. You know how we say, I swear to God, which we shouldn't do, because we can't swear about anything, because how do you know you're really going to keep that promise? But here, look at what God says. He goes, by myself. He goes, I swear to myself. That's just awesome. That's just so powerful. God says, by myself I have sworn. I swear to myself. This is God saying. He goes, I swear to you. This picture God. Okay, that God sitting on the throne, angels screaming out his holiness, and he's sitting on that throne. He looks down at you right now. He goes, I swear to you. I swear to you by myself. And then he goes, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. In other words, he goes, when I say something, it happens. He goes, I don't just say empty words that come back to me. He goes, when I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And he goes, and I swear to you, I swear to you by my almighty name that this is going to happen. I swear to you that every knee will bow, every single knee, in heaven, earth, under the earth. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to swear allegiance. I've been meditating on that all week, and I just go, man, that's awesome. That is such good news. That gives me so much confidence to know that I believe in a God who sits on his throne and tells everyone in existence, I swear to you, you will bow to me. I go, oh, that's bad. You know, that's my God. No one is going to touch that. It just gave me so much confidence, so much power, so much, you know, just peace and comfort. So you may read that and that may bring fear to you, but I read that and that brings security to me because I go, that's my God. And that God calls me his son. That God calls me his friend. And that's the God who says every single person. See, because right now it's hard because look, it's going to get worse here in America. We are going further and further away from God. And so what I believe, what many of you believe, is going to be looked at as more and more ridiculous. If you stand for the morality that this God calls you to stand for, if you stand for this truth that there is one God, like he says, and there is no other, you are going to be mocked more and more as time goes on. But then I read this verse and I go, you know what, that's okay. Okay, so maybe I'll look like an idiot. And some of you, even in this room, may look at me and go, wow, what an idiot. Look at him. He's down on his knees to this invisible God. And you think that that God doesn't even exist. You think, oh, look at this guy. His standards of morality. He still thinks this is a sin, this is a sin, this is a sin. He really thinks his Jesus is going to come back. And I'm telling you, you know what? My Jesus is going to come back. He swore by his own name that he would come back. You know? So if I have to look like an idiot for a few years, I'm okay with that. Because I promise you, all of those of you who are mocking me and think that I'm stupid, you're going to bow one day. God swore by himself. That's so cool. I swear by myself, you will bow to me. See, there's a lot of things I'm unsure of. I don't know the future. I don't know all the things that are going to happen today, tomorrow, whatever. But I do know one thing. I know that Jesus Christ is going to return. And those of you who are too proud to bow to him right now, you're going to bow anyways. He came that first time and he goes, and I gave you the choice. This next time I'm forcing you to your knees. And everyone's going to bow. Even those in hell. Understand, hell is not a place where Satan rules. Hell is a place where Satan is bound and is being punished by God. And hell is a place that God has dominion over. And he goes, so in heaven, you see these angels worshiping me? They're going to keep worshiping me. Those of you on earth that are worshiping me, they're going to keep worshiping me. And those that are even below the earth that refuse, I'm going to force them. And I'm one of those people that's saying, you know what, God, when you return, I want you to find me on my knees, bowing to you. I want you to know that I know you're going to return, and I know your word doesn't return void, that when you say something, it's going to happen. And so you can mock me all you want, and for the rest of my life, you can torture me, you can do whatever, but you know what? I know what's going to happen in the end. At the end, you're going to bow, and I'm going to bow, and we're all going to bow, because we have this awesome, almighty Jesus who's going to return, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't you just want to worship him right now? We're going to have the worship team come out. We're just going to close, and we're just going to celebrate Jesus Christ and worship him. If you guys would just stand to your feet, and if at this time, maybe some of you today, this is the first time in your life you recognize who Jesus Christ is, and maybe you want to bow to him voluntarily before he forces you to your knees. And if that's you, and you just need some prayer, maybe you want to get baptized. Maybe you've been too arrogant and thinking, no, you know what, I don't need this, I don't need that, I'm a good person. You don't get it. Baptism was a sign of dying to yourself, saying, you know what, I'm done with me. This is not about me. I'm dying to myself, going in that water, and I'm rising again, and I'm going to be with Jesus. It was a sign of submission and coming under his authority and joining with him. But I just love this passage. I love being able to leave today with a sense of confidence, knowing my Jesus Christ is going to return, and everyone's going to bow to him. And I'm on his side. I'm his child. I'm his friend. Let's worship him. Mm-hmm.